Good morning, Carmel High School. You're listening to Off the Wall live on 91.3 WHJE. I'm Maggie Paul, and I'm here with Jack Missler, J.D. Arlen, and, of course, our superintendent, Dr. Wall. We're going to start off today with the sports. So, J.D.
Thank you so much, Maggie. Dr. Wall, great to have you. Big day in the world of sports. A lot wrapping up, a lot beginning. I think first and foremost, we should start off talking about the school sports. The cross-country team winning state. Four awards that day. What did you call it before the show?
The Grand Slam.
The Grand Slam victory, state and individual champions. What a record to break so late in this season.
And to be that dedicated and that consistent throughout this year, but not in the past years. So big shout out to Boys and Girls Cross Country. Congratulations. Wish them well. Many of them go on to national runs as well, so congratulations to the cross-country teams.
It is certainly an honor, I'm sure. Moving forward, we're going to go into the world of professional sports. Game last night, I'm sure everyone was watching the monsoon rain take place in Carolina.
Yep.
Colts almost ruined the Carolina Panthers' undefeated streak. Saw some offensive problems.
Yeah.
Do you think those are fixable?
They are. I mean, the problem is the Colts keep spotting everybody 20-some points. You know, they did it last weekend. They did it last night. And it's hard to come back from that. They tie it up, lose in overtime. It's problematic and disturbing to see the Colts trend right now. Coach Pagano is getting more heat every week. I'm very disappointed by that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because I think he's a quality coach and a quality human being. And a lot of pressure being put on him and the team right now.
Well, I mean, look at the 49ers. Look at other teams that have fired their coaches. I just don't see the problem in having a coach that maybe isn't coaching as successfully as he could be. Because when you fire him and bring somebody else on board, you're not going to have anybody that knows the team as well as they do. So it's just going to create more problems.
Yeah, exactly. And you think about preseason, they get to know the players. They're building relationships. Ken Wisenhunt was just fired about an hour ago by Tennessee, which is pretty amazing. Miami head coach has been fired. NHL, seven games into the year, the Blue Jackets of Columbus fire their coach. There's just no sense to that, especially if you're looking at a long build of a program.
It's a trend. It's not a great trend for the NFL and for all professional sports to fire the coach when the team isn't as successful. But you watch the Colts offense, and it's almost like they've got a plan, almost like somebody is their confidant, and they're not really testing the waters to see what works. We are not aware of what the Colts are going to do every week. We're not aware of who's going to start until game day. Who's responsible for all of the problems, if not Pagano?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, part of the discussion is the players that have been brought in. You know, that would go back to the GM. And right now the Colts have the oldest average age of any team in the NFL. And as we know, age and the NFL don't mix very well. So you have to look at the players that have been brought in, and it's got to make you kind of wrinkle your brow. Since Andrew Luck coming in as the first-round draft pick, the Colts have not fared very well on their picks and how they've produced.
No, and
so that's got to fall on management as well.
I'd agree, and it's so heartbreaking. Last week we saw the New Orleans Saints take on the Colts and Philip Dorsett break his ankle, or a couple weeks ago when they took on the Saints. And, you know, it just seems like we don't have any more draft picks left. Now Philip Dorsett is still on the team, but he's just riding the bench.
Yeah.
Moving forward with the Colts season, I don't think we're going to see very successful postseason based on the play we've seen throughout this regular season.
I wouldn't rule them out, though.
No.
I mean, there's plenty of games
to
be played. I think that they've understated Andrew Luck's injury. I know why, because it's kind of like in hockey, either have an upper body or lower body injury. You don't want to advertise that too much because the opponent will take advantage of it. But I think Luck's been hurt, I mean, significantly. You know, he came out with the rib injuries. And I think he gets back healthy and they get a couple breaks and the defense actually plays in the first half.
That's another thing.
And then the Colts can, it could be a whole turnaround.
Yeah, my dad and I were talking about the game last night, and we were just so amazed that in 2 minutes and 30 seconds, Colts had fumbled the ball and thrown an interception. It was just because
of
the rain.
You just can't give it away like that.
You can't, and you have to, if you're a professional athlete and it's raining outside, you have to make it work. I mean, there's no excuse for
same conditions for both teams.
Absolutely. Yeah, and the Carolina was very successful in the first half. That's enough about the Colts, I think, until hopefully we can see something going for them against the Broncos. Peyton Manning, of course, taking on the Colts next week on Sunday. That'll be a big game as he comes home.
Peyton isn't looking like the old Peyton, but they're undefeated.
They are.
And the Broncos defense made the Packers look like they're in week one. Very impressive to see the Broncos play defense like that. And if the offense comes around for Peyton, like I think it probably will, good chance they'll be there in January.
Oh, yeah. I think they're major contenders.
I do, too.
Speaking of championships, the World Series wrapped up. We saw the Kansas City Royals with a crazy inning coming back from the eighth inning with a victory. It was a unique game. It was a unique series. I made this comparison in my notes. It's almost like the pineapple of World Series because you don't often see it. It's sweet. And it's something that isn't very common. Everyone in the studio is laughing because they didn't think I could do this. I drew it. What are your thoughts on the World Series?
I'm going to let the pineapple go. Maggie, I don't know what to do with that. My thoughts, I think that there's going to be a book written about this Kansas City team, and it should be called The Closers. They finished games like no other major league team I've ever seen, and I've been watching baseball since I was a peewee. They never gave up. Tenacious. They're down 2-1. Arguably, you know, the Mets can put this game 5 in the bag. And Kansas City does not have a – they don't quit. And they close games. They know what to do in the 7th, 8th, and 9th innings. In the playoffs, they were just remarkable. Yeah. So, congratulations. And back to managers. Ned Yost 2 years ago, you know, they're harping on he should be fired and, you know, he's not bringing the team along. 2 years in the World Series, and this year he wins. So
yeah, back-to-back appearances.
Kudos to Kansas City management for sticking with him.
For sure. They're one of the best teams in the MLB in history, I'd say. I mean, we haven't seen two
easy
back-to-back.
Easy now, big guy.
I don't know.
That's a lot of...
It's a lot of history.
You go back to the Yankee dynasties and the Big Red Machine in the mid-70s.
Right, you have to be
real cautious. And oh, my Giants, by the way, have been very... very productive in the even years, so we'll see how they do next year.
That's the dynasty that everyone talks about. Last thing I wanted to talk about is an NBA preview. Steph Curry, of course, coming into the season, huge. He's 6 points off of Michael Jordan's record for a season start. Thoughts on the NBA regular season so far?
Candidly, I'm not a huge NBA follower. I'm very impressed with Golden State, obviously, how they played last year and their start this year. Big shout out to Tim Duncan. He won last night, and he exceeds any other player in one franchise, the number of wins, 954, I believe, which is an amazing accomplishment for Tim Duncan. The Wake Forest Demon Deacon. So congratulations to him. Again, longevity and a strong organization sticking with their program and their plan.
He's one of the best in the league, at least for the time. I think what we can expect to see, another successful year by Golden State. Something I wasn't expecting is seeing Derrick Rose play for the Bulls. Mm-hmm. He was pretty successful. Chicago's looking great. The president tweeted at them, if that gives you any indication of how widely accepted they are.
Well, he's a Chicago guy, so he's gonna tweet it. He was at the game, and it's good to see D. Rose play with that, you know, after that surgery on his orbital joint socket that got broken preseason. So that's good to see. And the Bulls are 50 years young this year.
That's exciting.
50 years of franchise. I thought they were older than that, but that's cool.
Big week in the world of sports. Thanks for sitting down. That's all we've got for today. We'll send it back over to Maggie.
Okay, we're going to take a short break, but stay tuned for Jack Missler and our guest Mary Kaltrider with our news headlines. You're listening to Off the Wall, and here's Electric Feel by MGMT. Welcome back, and you're listening to Off the Wall on 91.3. We're here with our superintendent, Dr. Wall, and Jack Missler, and our guest, Mary Kaltrider, are going to talk about the news headlines today.
Thank you, Maggie. Good morning, Dr. Wall and Mary.
Morning, Jack.
Today, first thing I want to talk about, we had another debate. It seems like every show we get a new debate to talk about. This one, though, the main point of the debate was not the actual debate itself, but rather the moderation, the host, CNBC, and kind of the fallout that occurred after that. Did either of you happen to watch the debate?
I did watch the debate, Jack, and I will say, it was my first debate I actually have been watching in this whole entire process, and I was absolutely shocked by the moderation, the things that they were asking. It seems that we have a lot of things we need to be focusing on as a country right now, and not one of those things was asked about.
Yeah. And Mary, welcome to the show, and thanks for premonitiously preparing for the show. Yeah. We appreciate that. It was kind of sensationalistic journalism.
Yeah.
You know, putting the candidates against each other, just for ratings, and I was disappointed. So were many of the candidates, by the way, too, and showed their displeasure.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that's happening now is the candidates have come together to write this sort of rules for future debate. But the big problem there is they're separating from the RNC. How do you think this is when you have the candidates who are supposed to be representations of the RNC going against them? What does that say about the party?
Lack of organization. It's indicative of what's going on in the House with, you know, Boehner stepped down for lack of support from the Republican membership. It just shows that they're not really organized and they're clearly not on the same page. The other thing that's frustrating to me, we're trying to model civil discourse not only for each other, you know, just like when we have our meetings and when Mary has meetings over here at the high school, and we're going to talk about that structure in a minute. But when you have that kind of modeling of civil discourse like we had the last debate and what we see sometimes on the floor of the Senate and the House, it doesn't bode well for us as a country as we model for you guys in the high school, for just fellow citizens. We're accepting that as a norm of civil discourse, and I just don't care for it.
Yeah, it's sad to see that, you know, in history, we're learning about kind of the foundations of America, and to see, you know, how those guys, some of them had the most parallel opinions you could imagine, but they were able to still, you know, show some level of professionalism, some parliamentary procedure, so to speak, and I feel like we've lost that.
Yeah, and it doesn't, I have no problem with people disagreeing.
Yeah.
It's the manner with which they do that's becoming problematic.
Well, it's, you know, Ben Franklin, he's quoted with saying, democracy is hammered on the anvil of debate. You know, it's a key part to this nation.
Absolutely.
But it needs to be done properly.
Couldn't agree more. Mary.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome again. tell us a little bit about your president, right?
Yes,
the
I am.
Council.
Yes.
You were elected. Not appointed, mm-hmm. correct?
Yes, I was elected.
And it's election day, as Jack said, so we need to get out there and vote.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about student government at Carmel High School.
Absolutely. The student government here, I think, is unique to any other high school. I've been to many MIC leadership conferences, and they all usually just have a general student council. But here at Carmel, we have a very complex system that gives so many different opportunities for students to be involved. We have the House, which is made up of almost 400 students, I want to say, and they work mostly with Cabinet. Cabinet kind of leads and oversees House and everything that they do. And their main objective is all the events for Riley Hospital, and they are actively involved in the Carmel Dance Marathon, and Cabinet is also led by Samantha McKenzie, the Speaker of the House. And then on the other side, we have the senators, and there are 6 senators per each grade, and they are elected. And then I kind of work mostly with Senate. And in Senate, what we do is care to share, winter dance, homecoming, blood drives. We essentially do the events at the school that are not usually related to Riley Hospital. So
all
the other stuff.
How often do you meet?
Senate, we actually have an SRT together, so every other day we meet.
Oh, okay. Do you have any aspirations to run for political office in the future?
I actually do. I think that it's something that I would definitely consider. I plan on majoring kind of in communications. Then I would love to go to law school and take on that kind of side of things. So we'll see.
So you, as a young aspiring politician, what do you see and how do you feel about, you know, Hillary Clinton could be our first female president? Does that make any impact on you? And if so, what does that tell you?
It does. I actually just had a very long interview with someone from Highlight on Hillary Clinton. And I definitely feel like that is a huge stepping stone. I think that seeing the first female president. With that being said, I also am a firm believer that the most qualified candidate should win. And sometimes I feel like I want to look more on someone's beliefs and their standpoints rather than just their gender or if they're a minority. With that being said.
Excellent
yeah.
point.
And yeah, as we were talking about, it is election day. Big reminder to all of our 18-year-olds out here at Carmel, 18 or above, really.
Right.
It is important to vote. Mayor Jim Brainerd is running unopposed, but he still needs to be voted in. There's also other jobs that are up for election today, so make sure you go out to those polls and get them. Something I wanted to ask Mary and Dr. Wall, in a sense, when working with the student government, how is it, you know, Care to Share is such a, it's a program that's starting this time of the year, where, correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, you go to SRTs, raise money, and then buy presents for children who wouldn't otherwise receive them. Mm-hmm. How do you think that affects the student body here? You know, this act of giving.
I think it kind of gets everyone in the student body involved. I think lots of times student government is kind of seen as, well, student government puts on events for student government kids. It kind of attracts that crowd. But Care to Share, we go around to every single SRT and everyone gets into the Christmas spirit. Like, we don't go off and buy the presents for the kids. The SRTs themselves go out and they buy the gifts and they are raising the money. So it truly gives them that idea that they can do service too. They don't need to be like a senator or a speaker of the house. They can just be active in their student body, in their SRT, excuse me.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah, that's it's real neat to see how, you know, the Carmel is, you know, really getting into the community. And what's neat is, you know, there's this idea that Carmel has of, you know, we're kind of the prim and proper, but we do a lot, and it's great to see that.
Well, you guys give back. That's what's so impressive, from Dance Marathon to Sharon. That is something that I don't know that the general public knows about. And whenever I have a chance to speak, I spoke at the Lions Club a couple weeks ago, and I talked to them about the philanthropic initiatives by students. That's, to me, I mean, Carmel High School is a wonderful place to, for teachers to teach and students to participate and learn and be engaged in learning. But the piece that I think is the story that's not told enough is what you guys are talking about today, the giving back. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, kudos to you. On a lighter side, as the holiday season approaches, Jack and I were having a little back and forth before we went on the air.
Oh, yes.
And I'm very impressed and interested, if you're willing to share. We're talking about holiday music.
Yes.
Oh. So we're going to break into holiday music. When is it appropriate to start playing holiday songs? Jack, you want to
give
the entree to this?
Yeah, for example, my family, we have a pretty strict rule. There is to be no holiday music until after Thanksgiving dinner. And we generally have the tradition where, as we're cleaning up after Thanksgiving dinner, we listen to Frank Sinatra's Wishing You a Merry Christmas. And we play that while we clean, and we've done that for as long as I can remember. But, you know, I was talking to Dr. Wall. He had the Christmas Starbucks cup this morning, and I said, there's Thanksgiving, which has still happened, and people are still cleaning up after Halloween, so...
Crazy how it just... November hits and it's like
that
holiday. Yeah. Mary, anything that your family does that's noteworthy regarding the holiday season? Music?
Yeah, well, I feel like I'm always playing holiday music like all year round in my house. So I think any time's acceptable. I mean, there's no greater season than the holiday season. So let's have it be every day.
There are places like Frankenmuth, Michigan, where it is holiday every day. If anybody's ever visited there.
I have not. I need to,
365 days a year. Maggie, as you produce this show so admirably, mm-hmm. any thoughts you have on that?
Well, my grandma is an avid Elvis Presley fan, so frequently on Thanksgiving we'll go see an Elvis impersonator do some holiday songs.
Really?
Yep, that's our thing.
I'm with Jack and his family. We're not cranking out any holiday music until after Thanksgiving turkey is consumed.
Yeah, exactly.
And then it's all bets are off. You can play whatever you want. Mary, I kind of like your idea. Celebrate every day.
Absolutely. Mariah Carey, All I Want for Christmas Is You. Let's play it all the time.
I know our technical guy, Michael, that's his song. He's always playing Mariah Carey's.
Oh, I could only imagine.
All I Want for Christmas Is You. Yep.
But on this election day, as Jack said, make sure you register to vote.
Yes.
Of registered voters, only 25% vote in local elections. And that's sad. So first of all, register. If you're 18 or older. And then second of all, vote today. Even though there's not a lot going on, as Jack said, go out and make your voice heard and vote.
Well, and it's also, if I may, it's a great stepping stone. A lot of kids, this will be their first presidential election they're voting in. This is a great chance to see how the ballots work, get registered, understand the system. It's a good place to start. And also, local elections are one of the best examples of you to impact that you can see in our democracy. It's the closest jump from you directly to the leaders. You know, a lot of time, I mean, I run into the mayor at the farmer's market all the time. So, you know, these guys that you're electing are in your community. They, you know them, you know, they probably have kids who go to the school or whatnot. So these local elections are really the best opportunity you have to really get a say in your community.
Mary, you know, being elected student body president is significant in that you guys are developing and understanding the process.
Yes.
And to make a difference.
Absolutely. Actually, just throwing back to during campaign week last year, it was definitely a struggle getting people to vote in just that. Mm-hmm. I remember having to go around during the freshman cafeteria specifically and being like, hey, like, this is how you vote. This is how you do it. Like, I'd really appreciate it. So a lot of the times, like, people don't be like, they put it off and everything. Like, oh, like, it's not that big of a deal. But, I mean, it kind of is. Like,
absolutely.
They play a big part, so.
And what you just described happens in nursing homes across the United States because they are that demographic is the highest percentage voting population mm-hmm. in the United States. So many times candidates and their team are at nursing homes saying, this is how you vote, suggest who you vote for, because they vote. Mm-hmm. That demographic votes.
All right, well, that's all I have for today. I think we've gotten the go vote message.
I think
hammered enough, which is good.
Yeah. Thank you for listening to Off the Wall on 91.3 WHJE. Tune in 2 weeks to listen to our show on November 17th. You're listening to 91.3.